Well, welcome to the Short Ball podcast on Rugby Pass Year with me, James McConey, in my Chiefs jersey, and Mills Muliaina. 102 Test All Black, 101 Tests, how many?
100. 102 games.
102 games, 100 Tests.
100 Tests.
Let's get it right. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, have you got any flowers for me?
No, but if you look at my eyes right now close, it's like heart-shaped emoji eyes.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, there's a couple of curves up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
And have you had anything special happen to you today on Valentine's Day?
No, I haven't yet.
And have you done anything special?
No, I haven't because, I haven't. After this, I will. Joe and I are going to go out for brunch. Well, it'll probably be lunch by then. We'd have to wait around this and also Mackenzie's sleep. So, yes. Yeah, you've got to factor all that in. So it'll be a three-person lunch.
It'll still be nice and romantic.
Oh, yeah. I haven't got anything, so I think once you get to this level, you've got a child, everything goes towards the child, right?
Oh, is it a level, is it?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we could do a duet, maybe. That could be a nice thing to do.
Ah, yes. Why not?
To all the girls I've loved before, Julio Iglesias and Willie Nelson. Which one do you want to be?
The latter, I think.
Willie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be Julio. To all the girls I've loved before, who've travelled in and out my door, I'm glad you came along. I dedicate this song to all the girls I loved before. Now you go, Willie. He sounds a bit like Graham Henry.
I'm not going Willie. Not after that performance. You've just blown me away, eh? You have blown me away there, mate.
I can do Spanish singing. I can't do actually normal.
You're a man of many talents, McConey. I didn't know that. Hey?
You don't want to do Graham Henry?
No, I don't.
To all the girls I've loved before. Better. Beaver.
Anyway, look, we're going to start talking about rugby. The Blues won the 10s.
Mm.
What did you think about that?
I like the way the Blues played. I think they've got some extremely young talent and they had a very good tournament, so they're looking good, and I think a lot's been said about the will this sort of translate into the 15s. I think it does. I honestly think it does, because I know tactically some of the things won't, but from a confidence point of view, for the club itself, I think it's a great way to start. And I spoke with Sumo about this, I think, early on, and I honestly think this could be the Blues year.
It could be.
I'm like, they're looking exciting. I think there's a lot of young talent, and so they've got a lot of depth. We haven't seen their top notch players play yet, but I understand they're playing tomorrow. So they just need to get on the board and get on the board early. And it's going to be a tough ask for them down in Dunedin.
Mm.
But the tens was awesome. The crowd was a bit disappointing. Second year now. But all in all, I think the rugby was pretty outstanding.
Carlos Spencer played a little bit, but who was mainly sort of their playmaker sort of pivot in the tens? I didn't see a lot of it.
Yep. Obviously Caleb Clark, the youngster. I think he got player of the tournament.
Yeah.
And so he was just everywhere. He scored lots of tries, and for such a young kid, the way he went about things in attack. He just looked free, when you're first starting off and just wanting to have a go, backing yourself and things like that. I was impressed with Papali'i as well up front, and a lot of the bigger forwards. And so names that guys wouldn't even have heard before. And so they had a really good balance. Carlos came on a couple of times, and I think, he had a couple of cameos, 2 or 3 minutes here, then off. So, but having him... just him and the environment. The last time they won was 2003, and he was part of that. And so just to have his presence there amongst such a young group was fantastic.
You were part of that as well in 2003?
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing is, I guess, first five. What are they looking at now with Teddy Black out? Is it Bryn?
Well, Gatlin? Yeah, I think so. And Bryn, I was impressed with Bryn last year. I think during the Mitre 10 Cup, he was outstanding. He's just gotten to that sort of next level, a bit more confidence, a bit more game time. But also, Petal Feta, he's going to be outstanding too. Again, similar sort of player, has had some rugby under his belt, some good sort of hard rugby with Taranaki. And so I think they're in good shape. You know, you talk about the halfbacks, obviously Augustine Polu, you know, he's your skipper. But Sam Nock in the 10s, he was amazing. And I was actually quite surprised about, you know, the speed that he has as well. So in and around the rucks, you know, for someone that's going to come off the bench, you've got Sam Nock there, you've got, you know, Augustine, Bryn Gatlin, and then you've got, you know, Peter Fetter that's also there. So I think they've got a good balance here. And often in the past, that's always been the criticism, you know, their 9-10 combination. More so their 10, but I think, you know, they've got a good balance there, and that's why I think this could be their year.
This could be their year, yes, the Blues. Dalton Papali'i, I know a little bit about him, I guess, because he was at my mate's school where my friend teaches, Sancta mm-hmm. Maria, but small school in South Auckland, Catholic school, but of course he had to go, we won't say poached, but he went to a bigger school, St. Kent's, and has been through the system, every single age group team you can imagine. Yep. But what happens now, because there is someone in his way, he's an open side, really, and they've got Blake Gibson. How do you bring this young guy through? Even Cara Pryor, really good player.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they've got, you know, good sort of solid guys here. I mean, you've also got to think, you know, you've got Jerome. Obviously, Jerome's a blindside, but you've got, you know, good, solid play. And I was really impressed with Papali in the way he played. Yes, I know it was 10s, but his skill and his speed and acceleration is fantastic. You know, I haven't seen too much in terms of how he's what he's like defensively. But, you know, that's a great headache for Tana to have over the summer, and particularly leading into this first game. You know, who's he going to pick? Who's he going to pick in that trio to make sure they get off on a good start? And certainly, you know, if you look at the way Papali'i played, you know, he's certainly putting his hand up.
We probably don't have time to go through all the Super Rugby franchises, but there's a couple of games on this weekend: Stormers versus Jaguares, Lions v Sharks. So the New Zealand games all start next weekend. They're at the convenient times if you're in New Zealand of 2:05 a.m. and 4:15 a.m. Cheers, South Africa. What do you think about those franchises? I mean, the Lions, I guess, can they build on what they've already done in the past few seasons?
Well, they need to, yeah, and I think they can. I think they've got a nucleus of a lot of the players coming back, and so they will be. I think they'll push on it. They've got it's a home game for them to start off the season against the Sharks, who, you know, they've always been, you know, pretty tough games. The Sharks, you know, have often played more expensive games, so it'll be interesting to see where they're at. The Stormers at home against Aguares, you know, I think the Stormers should really, you know, beat them. And so it's a good chance to see where the South African teams are at, to be totally honest, along with the Jaguares this first week. But some good games. I know that they're on early in the morning, but certainly if you can at least catch the replays, I think they'll be pretty good.
The Chiefs, I noticed, selected quite an interesting 15. It looks like it is their first 15 with Tim Nanai Williams at fullback, and they had Nankivell at second five, which is quite an interesting sort of choice. I mean, when he was first named, he looked like he was just going to be, you know, like a squad member. Mm-hmm. But they obviously liked something about this guy. I think he's from Harvard and went over to play junior league for the Penrith Panthers or something like that. Now he's back. What do you think of him?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the Chiefs team yet, but you're right. They're obviously something, they see something there. I think the biggest thing, you know, for the Chiefs is having that stability, you know, particularly in the midfield. I'm not too sure where they're seeing Charlie Natai. The word is he's going to, you know, sort of be played a lot at the back, at fullback. And so I think giving him time there and stability and having you know, being with Anton, you put it in front of me there.
Yeah, it's a team that I just saw named. It's for a preseason game, but it looks like this is the dress rehearsal.
Yep. I mean, you got Sean. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought Sean Stevenson might have been.
Oh, sorry, I got that back. Wrong.
Tim's
on the wing. Yep. Yeah, sorry.
But Nick, I think, you know, having a combination, and that's key, particularly when you've got Damian McKenzie moving into to 10. So perhaps they see something there, that those two complement each other in some way. Anton Leonard-Brown, he'll be great. He'll be solid. He's always going to be solid. And you've got plenty of experience here. So
this will, it does actually look like I suppose the team before they go into the first round, but pretty solid.
Yeah, and I do notice as well Taleni Seu's playing there at number 8, which I quite like. I mean, he'll get the ball in his hands a bit more. He was one of those players they said didn't have enough training years on him, which just is like code for being in the gym and bulking up or whatever.
Yeah,
on the old creatine, the supplements, all legal. He's moved there. That seems quite significant.
No, it does. I think they'll get a lot of go forward from him. I mean, he's also got guys like Liam and that's going to help him through all that stuff. So having, Sal there will enable them to get a bit more go forward. Mitchell Brown and Sam Kanan, the other two, within the trio. And so, that pack to me, you're talking about, Molly and Laulala, Retallick, I think, man, they've got some really good talent up front, some real workhorses in the engine room. And so if they can get the backs right, I think that's going to be their biggest, challenge, is making sure all their backs are all right.
So it's the Chiefs year, that's what you mean. It's Chiefs year this year. Don't you worry about it. We're going to talk about, there's one issue I wanted to ask, actually, that comes out of the tens. Waisaki Sotutu's son Hoskins was playing, and he played a little bit of a mixture hybrid role, a bit of forwards, a bit of backs, and I noticed that he actually played that in club rugby for Waisaki at Marist.
Yeah.
And it's because, when your dad is coach, he tells you where to play, right? And I just wonder, even though he's a blindside flanker and has been that all the way through school, he's obviously got some fast twitch from Waisaki. And could he be the first hybrid, proper hybrid Super Rugby player, or even All Black, who plays forwards and backs and, is on the bench, could do anything?
Well, he could be. I mean, glimpses of the late Jonah Lomu, I think he was an 8 and ended up out in the wing. But you're right. But how fantastic is that? You got, Satutu, you got Clark.
Yeah,
I mean they're all. I mean, when you see those sort of greats and their names, and now you're seeing their sons progress through the Auckland ranks, that's got to be pleasing as a Blues and as an Auckland fan to see some of that talent coming through, particularly when their sons have been absolute legends in the game.
Yeah, I know that idea is not fully formed, but I just would like to see it because, like Jonah converted to wing, Eric Rush converted to wing, and they never really did that, both roles where you didn't know where they could come on, whereas, I don't know, maybe Hoskins could be that guy who breaks that down, because they were talking about it with Victor Vito, that never happened.
No.
He became a forward. Anyway, there's a story out of the US, which is, or out of New Zealand, really. Canterbury Rugby have invested in the Seattle Seawolves.
Yep.
I don't know what a seawolf is, but good name. And that's for Major League Rugby. There's only 7 teams. It's a small league, but this seems like quite a big move for Canterbury.
Oh, it's pretty significant, isn't it? I think when you're investing into a club over in America, there's always that talk about how big America is going to get, and obviously I've experienced that over there. Yes, I mean, there is a lot of talent there, but they're so disjointed. But to have a rugby union, Canterbury Rugby Union, who's been so successful, now investing into the United States, there must be something, that they see, that looks really, really good, because otherwise it wouldn't bother. And so I hope it's I haven't seen the whole logistics of it all, how it's all going to work, but I suspect they'll be sort of moving players in and out, and hopefully create some really good top-notch players in the States, because there's no doubt if they can get it right over there, who knows what can happen. But having a team like the Canterbury investing into that is massive, and they've always set the benchmark over these last few years, and so watch this space.
Did you play rugby in America?
Yes, I did.
Who for?
I played for San Francisco.
Oh, right. So that club is shut down.
Yeah, that competition is no good.
Okay. But this one here...
This one's a different one. It's a totally different competition that's just started, I believe. I think it's only just sort of starting up.
Okay, because, you've got the Seattle Seawolves, Utah Warriors, mm-hmm. so you've got the Mormons there. You've got San Diego Legion.
San Diego's good.
That's good. Glendale Raptors, which is Denver.
Yep.
I know the suburb. I was in Denver a few decades ago. Austin Elite, the Houston Sabercats. Now, there's the best name, Sabercats. They win already. And the New Orleans Gold. So it's a... and apparently there's news that Dallas could join. So Texas is obviously a bit of a hotbed for rugby.
Yeah.
And Dallas and another city. Oh, that's right, Toronto. So this is what they're hoping to build. This is something we probably need to be mindful of, because I always felt when there was an expansion in Super Rugby, maybe we should have gone to the States.
Yeah, I mean, having experienced what I did, I just think they're a long way away. They're a long way away in terms of... what really surprised me was the professionalism, you know, given that they've got NFL and things like that. Yes, the first competition that I was involved in, it wasn't that at all. You know, we were training on fields that you basically had to just turn up at your local field and got kicked off a few times because you needed a permit and you didn't have no facilities. You know, a lot of players didn't get paid. And so, you know, it left a very sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. Now, if they can get this right, and obviously there's, you know, the template that they've got, you know, at the moment they've obviously presented to Canterbury Rugby, must be good because, you know, they're investing in it. So they can, and I've seen a lot of talent. From a personal point of view, I haven't seen the professionalism. And when I say professionalism, you know, guys still go eat at McDonald's. They turn up.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but not when you're about to train about 10 minutes later and guys turning up late and sort of texting saying they've got to, you know, can't make training because of, you know, they've got to go and drop someone off at the airport or things like that. And so it just wasn't a professional league. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, they've got this right.
Yeah. How many people watched you play when you were over there? What's the crowd size like?
Well, it wasn't that. I mean, in certain places, San Diego was big because they had the university there. But we would struggle. I think we'd struggle to get 200 people.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, our home field was basically, there was a big, you know, fence around it. And you could basically just stand on the other side of the field without paying and watch the whole game. So why would you pay to get in when you just stand outside and watch? You know, and that basically what's happened. I'm not saying thousands of people stood out and watched it, but you know, that's the sort of professionalism I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah. It runs from April to June, which isn't bad. I mean, you're competing against baseball, and I mean, basketball season's still going, but it doesn't compete against American football. I think soccer's actually going then as well. So they will have to try and fight for that sport entertainment dollar.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested at the moment in fast food. What would be your choice of fast food if you had to, you know, like, let's just say you've done your training and you've earned it.
Yeah.
Where would you go and what would you order?
Oh, man. Are you talking in the States itself or anywhere in New Zealand?
Anywhere in New Zealand, but it could be the States. You can throw in a States thing, but it'd be quite good if it was one of the major chains, I'm thinking.
Well, I love a Burger King.
Really?
It just depends how I feel.
Are you a Whopper man?
I'm a double Whopper of cheese.
Ah.
Cheese.
Do you combo it up?
No, I actually go just burgers. I just go double Whopper with cheese and a double bacon, double cheeseburger.
Just burgers?
Just burgers.
No drink. You just drive right through and just say nah.
No drinks. Then if I'm going to go to McDonald's, at the moment, which is really weird, I don't really like KFC, but I've had a real sort of hunger for KFC.
It's the time of year, I know.
It was Huntley. It was the Huntley KFC. Actually, their chicken was quite good.
The humidity drives you to KFC, I think.
Yeah.
I had KFC the other day after touch, and I felt so guilty. I had a long shower after that.
So where are you going with this whole takeaway thing?
Oh, just about the rugby players having takeaways and stuff. Yeah,
I used to get a McDonald's card when I first started Super Rugby.
Really?
A McDonald's card. So basically you'd rock up and, you know, you'd order, and depending how often you'd go there, they'd probably give you, you know, more meals. So if you ordered a couple of Big Mac combos, I'd give it to you. I heard Roger... Roger Randall used to actually go home and freeze them.
Really?
Freeze the burgers.
That's clever.
Freeze the burgers, and then actually when he was hungry, he would just put them in the microwave.
Microwave, and that's really
They soon
clever.
Got rid of it, though. Skin folds are way up, well and truly up.
Yeah. Who, Roger Randall's skin folds?
No, everyone's skin folds.
Everybody's, yeah. So they had to kill that.
That was one of the things I looked forward to when I first started playing for the Blues, is my McDonald's card. With your smiley face on there. I'm loving it.
It's over now, okay?
No. Yeah, it's over.
It's over. It's definitely over for me. And anyway, we're going to we've got an interview with talking. If you've been watching Six Nations, there's been a lot of action and plenty of Kiwis playing. And one of the stars of Ireland rugby has been Bundy Aki, former Chiefs and Counties Manukau player. And we're going to have a chat to him now. Bundy Aki, how are you, Bundy?
I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. All well and good here.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really good. Top of the evening to you. How are you, and how was that experience scoring your first try for Ireland at the weekend?
Oh, it's been good. Been good over here. I think it's a total different experience from watching rugby back at home and coming over here and experiencing Six Nations. And I could honestly say it's pretty much the higher intensity level of rugby on this side of the world, and very passionate people. So yeah, it's quite cool. Just getting in there and getting stuck into it.
Hey, great to hear from you, Bundy. First of all, I've got to commend you because you're probably the first person that's ever rung us as opposed to us ringing you. So you're taking on the phone bill, considering you're making all the Euros over there. But my first question really is, you know, how have you found that transition? I know, you know, you played a lot of Super Rugby here in New Zealand. You know, obviously going over to Ireland, different sort of environment, weather conditions and things like that, and I suppose different sort of brand of rugby. How long is it taking you to adapt, and you know, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it took me, I think, a while. You know, when I first came over here with you, you know, to land on my 2 feet and go with my 2 feet here, it's pretty different from how you say it, what kind of rugby back at home. But it's actually been cool, like, you know, being here for over 3 years now. Been learning a lot, different kind of style of rugby, and quite enjoying it. Very confrontational, but also very expensive sometimes. But it's been good. Like, you know, the lads over here have been very good to me. They've been making me feel welcome here, making me feel like I'm home. So, yeah, can't complain at all. It's all been going good at the moment. So, yeah.
And prep-wise, I know when we were both over at Connacht in our first year and going into things like the pre-match meal, you know, often in New Zealand you'd have, you know, your chicken and a lot of protein, you know, some mashed potatoes, obviously, and you know, things like poached eggs. But the Irish, they like their pancakes, don't they? There's something about the way they like pancakes, and it sort of almost seems like it's a chocolate. You know, as soon as you hear that there's pancakes on the table, all the boys seem to rush there to try and get in before it all runs out, right?
Yeah, it is. The pre-match meals are pretty different from what we normally get, but it's quick, you know, you get used to it. Like you said, you know, pancakes, I'm sure you had a few pancakes there in the pre-match yourself. But no, it's been cool. Like, you know, it's a lot of carb orientated, and just like people here, like, you know, they love their meals and their size. So yeah.
And also the alcohol over there. Are you drunk right now, Bundy?
No, I wish. I'm in camp at the moment. No, it's you know, we've had our few down times, but at the moment it's all head down and do the dirty work for Six Nations and see how we go.
Yeah, I mean, you speak of the Six Nations, Bundy, I mean, massive game last week. There was obviously some controversy over the English versus the Welsh. Obviously, you guys are up against the Welsh this week. You know, how have you seen, you know, them play? Obviously, they, you know, convincingly won against the Scottish last week. They played pretty expansive. You got your old teammate there with Gareth Anscombe playing in the Welsh team. You know, how have you seen them gone? Obviously, a big match for you guys this weekend.
Honestly, Welsh is a world-class team, and Gatlin's doing really good things there. And, you know, as you can see, the quality of players around the park, they've got the likes of Anscombe, they've got the likes of Scott Williams, Liam Williams, Lee Half-Benedict, Justin Tibbett, you could name the whole 23 or another 23 on the side. You know, they're playing really good footy at the moment. Obviously, they didn't come out with the result against England, but, you know, it doesn't mean that they're not a bad team. They're a great side, and, you know, we're just, you know, with the week down week that we have this week, and preparing well, refreshing our mind and our body to prep well for the Welsh team, because it ain't going to be an easy task. But the good thing about it is that we have them at home, so I think that's the good thing to go into, having the confidence that, you know, that you're playing at home with a real passionate crowd in front of you. So, yeah.
Hey, Bundy, I know you're in camp, but can you describe for us where you live and what it's like? And is there a green field and a pub nearby? And is it like Father Ted and all that sort of thing? Is there a bog down in the valley, oh?
I've got a little humble little house.
You have not. Stop lying.
Got a little humble house, you know, just there with my family close to where Mills used to stay. So, not close to the pub, though. That's where Mills was. One was just,
close to Supermax is where you are, bro.
Mills' house was a 20-meter walk, so it was pretty handy for him. I think I'm just, less than 5 minutes out of town. I think that's where everyone, the good thing about Galway is everything's close and you can walk about or drive around within Galway for 10, 20 minutes, so it's a good thing.
What town are you five minutes out of?
Sorry?
What town are you 5 minutes out of?
The Galway cities are just 5 minutes out
okay.
of the city. It's pretty handy enough. I think Mills knows exactly how good it is and how friendly the people are here, so I think that's a very good thing about it. So it's been good.
Bundy, how have your Irish boys sort of accepted you? Obviously, you're sort of very, very brown Irishman, but is there a different culture there? Are they welcoming, lads? I know you've got Robbie there, who's a very good man. What's the environment like? Joe Smith, the coach, who's a very good coach. Tell us about the environment. We often talk about the All Blacks environment. What's the Irish one like?
I think the good thing about it, when I first came into the environment in the Autumn Series, I was fairly nervous, especially with the short amount of time with the things that you had to learn. And I think the good thing about it is when you're coming into camp, because you're a foreigner, you you feel, you don't feel comfortable first, because you're just, you're an outsider and you just want to make sure you do everything right. And I think the good thing about it, being in this environment, is that the lads around me had made me feel comfortable, had made me felt like, one of them. They're easygoing bunch of lads, easy to talk to. So I think that's the good thing about it. When you're a new kid on the block, they're just, around you and help you out, making sure that you're on the right track and everything they're doing is right and making you feel comfortable to play the way you want to play. So I think that was a pretty cool thing about it. And then coming into Six Nations, getting more and more comfortable with the squad and the guys are starting to slag each other, which is pretty cool. And, you're in there slagging each other as well. So I think the lads over here have been very welcoming of me coming into the squad. And I think it's an easy transition when I first came in. I think when you first come in, there's a lot to learn, a lot of intensity stuff. And with Joe coaching, you've got to make sure you know all your stuff and you're on your toes every single time.
Hey, Bundy, what side of your family is Irish?
I think none, but I have my partner. She's part Irish. She's got an Irish heritage, which is pretty cool. So she doesn't know where from, though.
and also noticed that you scored a try from 3 metres out at the weekend. Have you told them that you're a bit of a hot stepper and that you rate yourself?
It's pretty cool. They're pretty lenient with the way I play. So I think with us, I just saw the line. I was hoping to cross the line, and surely enough, I was pretty lucky. Luckily, none of them were looking at me before they noticed. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, congratulations, mate. You've done really, really well. It's great to see a Chiefs man out over there playing international rugby, doing so well. I'm wearing the jersey right now, the one that you deserted, sadly, all those years ago. But you've done well, Bundy, and thanks for joining us today, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, lads, for having me.